How are you? What a great day. Got a couple smiles out of you today. Somebody's glad to be here anyway, right? Okay. Hey, let's start today with page 685, please, and let's stand. 685.
Purest gold, though all
Father, thank you for that song, Lord. Just another one of your promises, Lord, for us. We're going to be there with you one day, Lord. That time's growing short. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here, Lord, the sun shining through the glass, Lord, it's just amazing. Just love you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the great time that we had yesterday, Lord, passing out some Thanksgiving goods, Lord, to people, Lord. It just hit my heart, Lord, and I know the others did too, and it was just amazing time, Lord, doing that for folks. Help us, Lord. We've been even discussing the Sunday school, Lord, hospitality of the believer, Lord. We need to be spreading it. And the fellowship, Lord, that we had, just a good time with each other, Lord. Help us, Lord, to continue to have compassion for our neighbors, Lord, and compassion for others around us, Lord, to remember that they need you, Lord. In any way that we can, we need to reach out and going after him. Pastor's here today, Lord. We're expecting a message from him. I pray, Lord, that as he does deliver it, Lord, that you would make him strong, keep his mind clear, Lord, especially for what he has for us today through you. Be with us, Lord. If someone needs you today, Lord, I pray that person gets right before they leave today. Thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, 576, please. 576. Three is the last.
Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and simple though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early
let's see, the 26th this week is our Thanksgiving service at Walnut Park. Don't forget, that's a Tuesday. If you come here Wednesday, you're going to be all by yourself, so don't forget that. Also, I skipped right over. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yes, that's at 6:30.
That's okay. Evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. You miss that, you're missing out. Wednesday service on the 27th, obviously, it's not there. November 30th, if any lady would like to join us to clean out the costume room, that could be an adventure. From 10 to 11, all help is welcome. Christmas open house at Pastor and Kim's home on the 14th of December, 6 to 8. Quarterly business meetings coming up on the 8th. If you got items to be put on the agenda, get them to Pastor by the 4th. Secret Sisters going to be revealed in December. The thought for the week, our pastors. Our salvation should be our greatest reason for thankfulness and the motivation for all others. Whew, thank you.
Are we coming the 30th to decorate the church? Does anyone have plans?
I'm not. Sorry. I don't know. How are you going to do that? Didn't hear? I guess if you want to decorate church, show up and decorate church. Okay? Maybe you'll get some more talk on. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up more than offering. Yes? We have 11 left of our Thanksgiving baskets that we, if you have a person that might need one, we would really like to know about it. We can help out there. Anything else, Jason?
Well, if you need one, if you know someone.
Yes. Yes. Okay. We had a fantastic time doing that. We just wish we could have got them all out, but we're going to try yet. So thank you, Jason. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your beautiful day you give us, Lord, the opportunity to be here again, the chance to worship you, Lord. Thank you for it. Be with us all, Lord, as we are just anticipating giving a little bit back to you, Lord. I ask you to be with the gift and the giver, Lord, as we do so. Be with those, Lord, that might still be sick or something else, Lord, going on. I just pray that you'd help them out, get them here soon. And, Lord, thank you so much for that time of being able to give to some people here yesterday, Lord. Be with us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. How about page 517, please? 517.
Foes may beset me, still will I
have special music.
In these days of confused situations, in these nights of restless remorse, when the heart and the soul of a nation lay wounded and cold as a corpse, from the grave of the innocent Adam comes a song bringing joy to the heart. Oh, your cry has been heard, and the ransom has been paid up in full. Be glad, oh, be ye glad, be ye glad. Every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. Now from your dungeon a rumor is stirring. You have heard it again and again. Oh, but this time the cell keys are turning, and outside there are faces of friends. Though your body lay weary from wasting, and your eyes show the sorrow they've had, oh, the love that your heart is now tasting has been oped from the grave. Be glad, oh, be ye glad, be ye glad. Every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. So be like lights on the rim of the water, giving hope in a storm of the night. Be a refuge amidst the slaughter of these fugitives in their flight. For you are timeless and part of a puzzle. You are winsome and young as a lad. And there is no disease or no struggle that can pull you from God. Be glad. Oh, be ye glad, be ye glad. Every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. Every debt has been paid up in full by the grace of the Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad.
Thank you, Kitty. You know, I have to just say this. You had no idea what I was preaching about today, even though you might have thought Thanksgiving. I just happened to put a couple of these tracks in my pocket this morning. Pass those around, okay? You get this one first.
Thank you.
Just let everyone take a look as we go on this morning. But good morning, everyone.
Morning.
We ought to be glad.
Yes.
We ought to be thankful. Sure, there's a lot of stuff going on in our lives and in the world, but be glad. Because our debts have been paid in full by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing we have to live in, folks. No matter what thing we're going through, what trial in our lives, Our debts are paid in Christ if we'll but receive that forgiveness. And I think we can operate with joy, and we can be reminded, especially as we consider this week of a national day of Thanksgiving, that we have every reason to rejoice in the debt being paid and to be thankful to Jesus Christ for all things. Greetings in His name this morning, by the way. It's good to see a nice group out today. And it is a beautiful day for the middle part of November. God is good, and He shed that goodness upon us in a repetitive way. We know this over and over and over. And yet today, I'm sure there are many people who are unthankful for the position they find themselves in and in this world. But Jesus has paid it all. We need to thank Him today. The title of our message today is, Did You Remember to Give Thanks? And we're going to look at a couple of things that are found, scenarios that are found in Luke chapter 17 this morning. So if you want to get into that text, either on your device or in a paper Bible, we're going to explore this idea of thankfulness and have we remembered to be thankful this day. It's a good day to give great glory to God, and we're going to take just a few minutes as we start today, but we're glad for everyone that's come through the doors this morning. There's a reason you're here. There's no accidents in that. God in His omniscience had a reason for you and I to be here today. We don't know about those that are not. We know there are many people struggling with various things, maybe even sin issues in their lives, maybe even feelings, again, that they are wrestling with today, various things that have an effect on the person. So today we want to just rejoice and give thanks. We're going to take just a few moments to connect with the Lord personally here and let Him know how worthy He is, how much we love Him. Maybe it's a time even where we could catch up on our debts as well and ask Him to forgive, to wash us up with the washcloth and some of the things where we strayed from Him, to draw us near to Him. This is a day that is profitable for that. Before I forget as well, you are welcome to come to the Thanksgiving service at Moscow this afternoon at 2:30. There's some good pie and other treats there, and we'd be honored to have you there. Want to just warn you, though, if you do venture out that way, the what we call the Moscow Blacktop, which is X-54, is closed between 155th Street, which is F-70, and Highway 6. So you need to go over to 38 and come around. That's the only way to get there. Otherwise, you won't make it. But you're welcome there. It will not be a lengthy service, but a time of praise. And then we invite you back tonight for some more feeding on the Word. We're going to look into the thankfulness of Israel and study that from the Psalms tonight. And so hopefully we'll be challenged on that. Before I pray, one other item. As of about midday Wednesday, Kim and I will be venturing up to our daughters in Chicago, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing. But, you know, I still have the phone if there are needs, but want you to know that we'll be out of town for those days. Also, as you've heard here, come out and see us for open house. We'd love to have you. Stay as little or as long as you like, even though if it gets to be about 8:30 or 9, I'm going to be looking at you kind of funny and saying, hey, it's time to go. I've got to go to bed, but we want you to come and enjoy that evening of fellowship with us. So with that said, let's take just a few moments here of silent prayer, and then I'll have a short pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. All right, let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, thank You once again for another day of Your grace and mercy that's been bestowed upon humanity. Lord, it's another day to understand truly who You are and to understand Your goodness manifested toward mankind. And so today, Lord, I want to thank You again for Your three personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank You today for Your Word, who was the Son of God, but is also the written Word that You have given us that expresses Your love and Your communication with human beings. And Lord, we thank You for that. In a time of thanksgiving, it should be all times that we give thanks. It's not just a yearly event or an occasional event, but Christians especially that have been redeemed by the blood. And Lord, I was touched by that song that Kay brought today. that our debts are paid in full. And Lord, what a wonderful freedom that has given to us to be, and also to be named as a child of God, to be one who is due an inheritance of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not by anything we did, but because of the love of God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we thank You for the activity and the power of the Holy Ghost today, Lord. May He be working in me this morning as I bring this message, but also in the hearers. And may He be the catalyst, Lord, to change us and motivate us today to draw us closer to You. We thank You, Lord, for everyone that's come through the doors, for anyone that may be visiting today. As always, on any given Sunday, Lord, we have people that are missing. And Lord, we don't know exactly what's going on. We know there are some that are ill. Others, Lord, that are recovering from surgeries and different maladies of life. Some that are, again, unable to get out because they're in the rest home and other situations, Lord, that make it impossible for them to gather. But we pray today, Lord, that all those folks in whatever capacity they're in, whether they're discouraged or depressed or just struggling this morning, that they would be poked by the Holy Spirit today, and that they would, again, right at this moment even, engage in opening their Bibles, Lord, and praying with You today. And again, maybe listening to this message at some point. But Lord, may You work in the hearts of the people that are associated here with Fruitland Baptist Church. Now, Lord, speaking of that, You've planted us here in Fruitland, and actually technically in Muscatine, but we pray for our neighbors, Lord, and our loved ones and our families and friends. But we pray, Lord, again, that they would see something different in us and be motivated to look into Your eyes, O Lord, and to be saved. So we pray for that today. We pray, Lord, again, that our nation would be preserved, that it would be reinvigorated, Lord, towards You, and that there would be repentance and, Lord, a true sense of revival that might sweep this nation, not just in a political way, but mostly in a spiritual way, Lord, that will also show in the other ways that flow from that. So we ask that today, Lord. We know that You're not done, and it's only by people's choice that they're done with You, not You being done with them. Now, Lord, as we examine this idea of thankfulness today, I pray You'd guide and direct my lips and my heart and my speech today, and that this would be found pleasing in Your sight and beneficial to the hearers this day. And, Lord, we need the Holy Spirit power and, again, the Parakletos to come alongside of us, to comfort us, to convict us, to get us straightened out. I do pray today, Lord, for all that are having a struggle, and that includes probably every one of us in our walk with You. Grow us and change us. Make it dynamic, I pray today. Help me to deliver this, Lord, as the weak link in the chain, and we'll give You thanks and praise in advance. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here it is. Did you remember to give thanks? We're going to look at two little components of thankfulness today, but first, let me give you my introduction that God has led me to bring to you today. But friends in Christ, with the National Day of Thanksgiving upon us, I would like us to consider genuinely how thankful we truly are. I can tell you in my life, there are many times that I have urgently prayed a request to God that He would deliver me or another situation or one of you from a test that we are involved in. And you know what? Many times God chooses to honor that prayer. But I'm the one that's always weak in that, usually, because you know what? When there's a certain trial or event that's taken place, and I've asked God to deliver it, and He does deliver me or the situation from the situation that it's in, and what do I do? Do I stop and give thanks to the Lord? I do, usually, but sometimes it's delayed. What about you? Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to slap me alongside the head and say, John, the Father answered your prayer, but it's been 5 minutes ago and you didn't thank me. Yes. See? Or maybe it's been 5 hours ago and you didn't thank me because you were so excited that this came to pass in a way that you wanted that you forgot about me. Maybe it's been 5 months or 5 weeks ago or 5 months ago when God answered a prayer. Folks, we need to take attention when we, in our prayer life, again, are asking God to do things for us, and when He does it, we need to be thankful. Now, here's the premise that I'm coming at today, and you may not agree with this, but I'd like you to consider it at least. I believe this, that our thankfulness level has a very specific correlation to our spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are not thankful, or we struggle with thankfulness in our lives, you can almost be certain that you are struggling in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, or that I am as well. In other words, we are not as close as what we should be, or even that we could be. It bears mention, as we think about this National Day of Thanksgiving, what are you and I's Thanksgiving level like? I'll tell you this, folks, the baseline, if you're here today under the blood of the Lamb, if like that card I passed around, by the way, I ordered a bunch of those this week, and I'm handing those out. I like that, paid in full. But if your level today lacks somewhere, maybe you haven't considered just how much the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I. Let me tell you this today, folks. We can never give thanks enough for our salvation. I don't know if we sit and think about that or dwell on that at all, but our salvation is a miraculous thing. You know, I believe this, and I'll take a risk to say it, and someone may differ with me on this, but the cross of Calvary is the most significant event that ever took place in history. It even tops creation. Because in the creation act, Jesus spoke the creation into being, but he and the Father and the Holy Spirit were not separated. They're Trinitarian bond. But on the cross of Calvary, fellowship was broken between God the Father and God the Son. When Jesus took our sins upon him and paid the price of your sins and mine on Calvary's cross, that was a dynamic event, and it was seen in the physical things that took place while he hung on that cross. Folks, that's the only time recorded in history, or any time even future that we'll know of, where God the Father was separated from his Son because he could not look on sin. Folks, if you've placed your sins under the blood of the Lamb, that is the most dynamic thing that could ever happen to you or that has happened in this world today, and it was affected through the cross of Calvary. You think about that a little bit, folks. And what do we have today, even in the Christian realm? And I'm even admitting it in my life. I am not cognizant as I should be of the things that are going on and the thankfulness that I don't owe it because my debt's been paid. But how could we not thank Jesus for what he did? See? That's where it's all about, folks. It's not about the other trappings of life, even though many of those have importance. Last Thursday, Kim and I were blessed with our 10th grandchild, a little girl. By the way, the boys rule 7-3. And that's common in the Brown family. But you know what? As I see those little eyelashes and the little fingernails and the little mouth, see, I'm going to cry today again. And the feet and that precious thing, you know, and I think about that, that's our produce that God gave us. I told Greg and Madeline, and they know it, that's God's blessing that he gave to you two. It's historic stuff, folks. Don't miss the good things by being unthankful for some of the things that you and I perceive as bad. Draw close to the Lord. You know, enjoy this. He wants us to. Sure, Thursday's a National Day of Thanksgiving, but every day ought to be a day of Thanksgiving. I better go back to my text here this morning. But I've told you in my life, there's many times that I didn't come back with thankfulness to God in the manner that I should have, in the rapidity that I should have. In my haste at the granted request, my thankfulness was swept aside in priority, later to be recalled at the behest of the Holy Spirit, maybe even after an extended period of time. And can I lay it on the line today, folks, and I'm asking the Lord to forgive me for the times I never thanked him. And maybe that's the case with you as well this morning as you review your life and your thankfulness lever. But folks, thankfulness truly may be a struggle for us. We can all admit that today. But always remember that 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, me. Okay? And so, when we have been given a blessing such as we have, thankfulness ought to rule in the thinking and the lives of all that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thankfulness should be the norm, not the exception, for Christians. Well, this morning, a brief exploration in the text in Luke 17 causes us to consider this in our lives and in our actions. I want to start in Luke chapter 17 and some words that Jesus brought about here. And again, Jesus was warning the disciples here early on in the ministry. He said, gentlemen, be careful how you handle yourselves, because, you know, if we cause someone to struggle and slip and miss you in some way, that is a grievous sin. It's a grievous error that we do. We need to watch ourselves very closely. And he goes on then to talk about thankfulness and what I've illustrated here very briefly. But how many times have you had a situation where someone failed to thank you for something that you may have done? Now, let me just say this right off, and this has a parallel to this. Don't expect to be thanked for everything you do, because it's not going to always happen. But your thankfulness can come from the Lord and knowing that you have done the right thing before Him. Okay? And Jesus is going to illustrate this to the disciples. He's saying, no matter the situation, don't take offense at it, because thankfulness is going to be a hard thing to deal with. But remember and learn from this situation, always be sure to be thankful yourself, because you have no position in this to think that you're something special, okay? And that you're above anything, because if they don't even thank Jesus, many times people will not thank you. But with that said, be sure to thank people when they do something the best that you can. Again, because it is an important thing to acknowledge that you have seen and care about what they have done in kindness for you. But according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, even when things don't go right, keep thanking. Keep thanking God and thanking for the opportunity that you had with someone or some situation to be a representative for Jesus Christ. Let's go to the text. Jesus lays out, this is one of two parts. We're going to go to the lepers here in just a minute. But Jesus lays out this scenario. He says in verse 7, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go, sit down, and have some food, or go to meat, it says here in the KJV. Well, think about that a little bit, folks. What's your heart situation like? The scenario is you have had a servant that you have hired, that you have paid, that has been out working in the field a long day, and they are tired. And we're talking here in the days when they had an ox or a situation like that, that they used an animal to pull a device or to work with a device, or they were working by hand, and they have been working all day and very hard. And you know what? When that servant is done for the day, probably on their heart would be to do what? To be done, to go have something to eat, to go relax for a while. But here's the person that, again, the servant works for, and what do they expect? They expect before that servant can sit down and feed himself or herself to be taken care of by that servant that's worked a hard day. Let's see what Jesus shows here and the principle that he's stating here. When he has come from the field, do you tell them to go and have supper first? Well, Jesus says what happens here. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith that I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Folks, what's that a picture of? Selfishness. One-sided thinking. Okay, not thinking about others. And this is a symptom. If you possess this type of a thing, if everything is about you or it's all about me, this is a symptom of our sin of unthankfulness. And selfishness is the manifestation of that that comes so often to be. And Jesus points this out in verse 9. Do you see the word there? Doth he thank that servant? In other words, the servant's worked out in the field all day. He's prepared his meal, brought it, and served it to him. And does the master or the person that's the boss here even have the courtesy to say, thank you? And Jesus tells us the heart of that person. You will run into people like that. You may be, or I may be, a person like that. Thankfulness is so important. But let's finish this. Well, Jesus answers that question there. He says, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? And of course, in the King James, it says, I trow not, but I'll give thee the modern vernacular that. Jesus is saying, I don't think so. There's no thankfulness in this kind of a person because it's all about me. Now, Jesus turns the tables here briefly. How do you react to someone that does that kind of thing? Let's lay it on. Someone, if you want to respond, or I'll respond. If you're in that situation where you've worked all day, your boss says, give me more, and then doesn't even say thank you, what's the attitude that you're going to have toward that guy or gal? But Jesus is going to change the thinking here about this. He's going to say, you know what? It's not right. But understand this. I'm kind of in that same position with you. And understand that even at our very best, Jesus is going to tell us here, we are not that good. And to not be surprised, again, how we operate with that kind of a thing. So let's see what Jesus says here in verse 10. He says, so likewise, when you shall have done all things which are commanded you. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't always expect to be thanked. And many people, when they find themselves in this kind of a situation, they say, what's the use? There may be people today that are not here, or people that are here, whatever. Is there ever a time when you said, I'm so sick of the way things are today and how people treat each other that I just want to give up? Kim's back there hiding. No, she's not. Wasn't there something we saw? Someone sent us something with emojis here recently about something like that, the give up thing? I can't remember. We talked about it. We don't remember half the things we talk about anyway. But there's people in that situation today, folks. Because someone didn't thank them, they're ready to give up. But Jesus, this is the whole point of all this, folks. You know, Jesus could have given up on us. Because what he's telling us there in verse 10, let me just read it. He says, so likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus says, you don't have to be thanked for everything you do, because at our very best, we're still what? We're unworthy, unprofitable servants. But do it for me. See? Because that's how Jesus looked at us. We were unprofitable, and yet he did what? He died for our sins and rose again. You know? We need to to look into our thankfulness position. And realize that even though we were unworthy, Jesus still did that for us. Folks, that ought to be a reason to give him thanks. See? We've got to get our thankfulness adjusted. Now, Jesus goes on here this morning, and he talks about the 10 lepers that were cleansed. Let's take a look at that this morning and dissect it in the few minutes we have left. Because what we find here is another scenario of where people forgot to give Jesus thanks. And isn't that the title of our message today? Did you remember to give thanks? And it came to pass, is what's recorded here in verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now we have to understand this, folks, that there was a border that Jesus was going through here. And all of this has symbolism in it as well. Now, the Samaritans, Samaria was a province of Galilee, but there was a problem with the Samaritans. Does anyone know what the problem was? They were pronounced as being unclean because they were amalgamation of Jew and Gentile, intermarriage and intermixing, okay? And so to a Jew, they would not be people that you would approach. Now, Jesus, we're going to find this, Jesus was on the border because Jesus came for both sides of the border. No doubt he came to the Jew first, but he also came to the non-Jew. And this was exemplified as they journeyed. These people had nothing to do with one another. Okay? The Jews did not accept the Samaritans, neither did the Gentiles, because they were a mixed group of people. They had both in them, and they were literally treated as dogs. And you remember the Samaritan woman at the well. But Jesus came down the border of both sides because he was there to help both. That's one thing to be thankful about today, folks, that Jesus came for every person. He does not exclude anyone, and he came for sinners, which all of us are. See, when we begin to think about these things, Jesus broke down the barrier, but he came and he responded to both. Let's see how people handled what he brought to them. This is a serious thing in that time. But he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And so he was there again to stop the border. He wasn't there to defend and to separate the thing. And I'm not saying that we need to have legal immigration in the United States. But folks, we've got to break down the borders when it comes to spiritual things. Because God loves every person, see. And he loves both the Samaritan here and the Jew. Anyway, verse 12, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, folks, Leviticus 13 and 14 would be two chapters. They're very lengthy chapters to read. But in that day, there was a what we would call today an infectious disease. And leprosy was not just a specific disease, but it was anything that was a disorder of the skin. Now, we all suffer from things that are due from funguses, rashes, dietary things. But that was a very big deal to the God's people, the Jews. God wanted purity, see, that because it symbolized him. And so when there was not purity in someone, the priest was on duty to make that call if there had to be a quarantine. And if there was an active infection that was going on, they had to be quarantined. But also if they were habitually affected with such things as this, especially here diseases of the skin, they would have to be pronounced permanently unclean and they would have to be separated. So you've heard the term of leper colonies and so on and so forth. Now, there is still leprosy today. It's called Hansen's disease. There are cures for that, medical cures, but this isn't exactly what the leprosy of the Bible was. It was any condition that had to do with contagious lesions and infections of the skin that could be communicated to other people. They were outcast because they could not contaminate the general population. Otherwise, you would have what? A whole population, and in this case, the Israelites, God's people, they would not be able to function if the whole thing was, if they were all ill and had these infectious things that were spread throughout all the people. So these people were looked at as what? Dirty. Unclean. They were ostracized. They were separated. Now you can read Leviticus 13 and 14, and there were times they could come back into circulation, but the basis of it all, as I see it in reading that text, is if you were permanently infected with these diseases, you were going to be permanently pronounced unclean. Okay? But you can read this text. I think, folks, what you see in this account that we see here today in Luke 17 is that these people had been permanently what? Removed. They were outcast because they had an unending problem with this disease of the skin, and it was called leprosy in that day. So he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. That's why I believe that was the case, because they could not come within a certain distance of the clean people. And they were outcast. They had to be put outside of the camp. By the way, this all pictures Jesus, again, and his work. You know, Jesus died outside the camp. His own people rejected him. He died outside the camp. For people like us that are leprous, leprosy with sin, that are considered to be leprous as sinners. But notice what these 10 did. And by the way, we'll find out there was some mixed company here. Okay? There was at least one Samaritan, and the others were likely Jews. Remember now, Jesus was a Jew, right? So technically, a Samaritan would not be able to even come to Jesus, right? Because he being a Jew, he would not have anything to do with these people. But you see, Jesus was a Jew, but he was the Son of God. And he came and he loved people. Here's how this took place. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy means not giving what we deserve. They wanted help. By the way, Jesus is there when we need help. Aren't you thankful for that? You may not be able to get a hold of a lot of other people, but Jesus is always there. Aren't you thankful for that today? Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. By the way, there's an opposite thing of mercy, and it's called grace. And grace is giving us what we didn't deserve. And the Lord Jesus gave these people that came to him and appealed for help, he gave them mercy and grace, folks, abundantly. Because it says here that they were not only healed, but they were what? They were cleansed. You see, the way that this worked when people had this condition called leprosy that I've hopefully explained somewhat clearly this morning is periodically by the law, by Leviticus 13 and 14, they had to go show themselves to the priest because the priest made the proclamation whether or not they were well enough to be in the general population or if they were to be separated again, quarantined. And Jesus is saying, go show yourself to the priest. Because I've got to tell you a little something. When it says here that Jesus healed them, these men were healed in totality of their leprosy. There is never a record in Scripture given. That's why these directives were given in Leviticus 13 and 14. They had to be examined all the time because they were never totally healed. You know yourself. Have you ever had maybe a disease of the skin? Well, I don't want to get real graphic, and it's not too bad anymore. But how many of you young folks had athlete's foot when you were younger? Oh, some are brave enough to admit it. Yeah. You know what? You can really never get rid of athlete's foot, in my opinion. You can treat it. You can do things. Temporarily, it'll go away. But unless you're out in the air and the sunlight every day, you're not doing much on your feet, you may succumb to that fungal infection over and over and over. And that was the case with the leprosy. But what Jesus did here, he not only temporarily healed them, he permanently healed them through the healing power of Almighty God. And the reason it was affected was because of their faith. They came to Jesus. They knew he was the only hope that they had to truly be healed. Folks, we need to acknowledge that today. He is the only hope. The thing about this, though, that's interesting is that Jesus wanted them to show themselves to the priest because the priest kept a record and they would have said, this person is fit to come back into the population. But they also would have known that when they were healed by Jesus, they never more had to come before the priest to be checked because they were healed permanently in Jesus Christ. Now let's see how this turns out today because this is the message for us today. Have you remembered to give thanks? They were cleansed as they went because of their faith. But notice in verse 15, and one of them, help me with Wilton mathematics, but one out of 10 is what? 10%. 10% compared to 100% is what? Very little. And this brings us to the point that I directed about myself and probably for you folks as well. And one of them, verse 15 says, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, what in the world happened to the other nine? I'm doing a lot better. Now I can go back on my merry way. I wonder if they ever thought about this, that they never again had leprosy. And if it came back to them later, that they needed to give thanks to Jesus. We don't know, but I can only say in the scheme of things, the way humanity is, they probably never did. They say, oh, this is great. Go on down the line. But lo and behold, one of them acknowledged to Jesus. And you know who he was? It says right here. He was a Samaritan that a Jew named Jesus healed. It's kind of like the Good Samaritan parable, right? Same thing. The guy that shouldn't even have been involved in this was the only one that was because the people that should have known better missed the whole point. But the Samaritan was one that stopped and glorified God. And notice what he did in verse 16. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him... He didn't forget. We shouldn't forget. This National Day of Thanksgiving is a fine thing. It's a day off. It's a day to gather as a family. But folks, it's a day to give thanks. But not only is Thanksgiving Day a day to give thanks, today is the day of Thanksgiving as well. Hallelujah. If you've been healed in Jesus Christ, by the way, the Bible uses the term made whole. Made whole is a health thing, but healed means what? Permanently cured. That's what Jesus has done for you and I at the cross, folks. He's not only made us well physically, but he's made us well, he's made us whole eternally. I'll tell you what, if these things that I've just mentioned this morning don't cause you to give thanks, there is a problem. And that thanksgiving must be directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's appropriate, it's right, it's biblical to thank people. Make sure you do that. You know, make sure you remember to thank people that have done good things for you. But also thank the ones that haven't. Be thankful for people. And be thankful for the healing that's found in Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus sums this up here in the last three verses. Jesus answering said, "Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Are you and I in that group of 9? Verse 18 says, "They are not found that return to give glory to God, except or save for this one." And Jesus acknowledges here, he's a stranger. He's not even a part of my jurisdiction as a Jew. But he's part of my jurisdiction as the Son of God. And he really was thankful. Verse 19, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith," and here's the word, "hath made thee whole." The whole package has been completed here through Jesus Christ. Well, folks, salvation should be our greatest thankfulness and the basis of all thanksgiving for all things that God has allowed us to have when he has not only healed us, but made us whole, made us well again. So may we, folks, consider ourselves here in this situation. Technically, we're outcasts, you know. But Jesus came for all. So may we, like the one that was outcast here as the Samaritan, that truly remembered, may we all be in that situation today, that it's not about us and our selfishness, but that it is, again, a command from God and the will of God that we be thankful in all things, because it indeed is his will for us. I trust today will be a day of thanksgiving for you, that it will also be a week of thanksgiving, and you can share that news, the good news, with others as you meet and greet them, again, about the true basis of thanksgiving. I trust, again, you'll have a good day in Christ today, but don't forget, he's what it's all about, my friends, and who we thank in his name has and makes a difference. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 575. This is a hymn entitled, "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." You know, we owe a debt of gratitude to Jesus that's already been paid, but it certainly is appropriate to be thankful. And when we set that pace in our lives of thankfulness to him, thankfulness to others that have done for us, it creates a whole environment of people beginning to be thankful to fulfill the commands, again, that God has told us clearly as Christians. So where he leads, let's follow. Jesus gave us some leadership there today, how we can operate in our lives. If there's a decision in your life, of course, it's always able to be made publicly here. There is help here from the Word. I'm glad to help you. Others will too. If you're struggling today, this is a day to draw closer to the Lord. Consider all the goodness that he has available to us and what he has done for us. already. Here we go. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless was he. He, the great example, is a pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Let's sing that chorus once more. Would there be anyone today that could acknowledge, hey, I've messed up on this idea of thankfulness. I've messed up before the Lord. I've messed up on others. I want to set a new precedence in my life to be a person who appreciates all the things that God has done for us, based especially in that work on Calvary's cross. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Doug Chatfield, would you return thanks to the Lord as we're dismissed?